Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, to talk about hell is not a very popular thing these days. I hear a lot about heaven, and people love to talk about angels, but it's as though hell has just somehow been dismissed from our thinking. The same people who believe there's a heaven can't pull themselves to admit that there is a place called hell. And yet, if there's no hell, there can be no heaven. If everybody, including the wicked, arrive in heaven, it quickly becomes hell itself. Besides that, to believe in Jesus is to believe in hell, for no one spoke of hell more than Jesus. In fact, he warned us to take some very drastic measures to avoid that place. In Mark chapter 9, in verse 43, he said, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that will never be quenched, for the worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, for the worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched." You know, it would seem that it's easy to go to hell, since, after all, what we read Jesus saying in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 is that the enter by the narrow gate, because he said, "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." But, you know, what I'm about to say may shock you. It's hard to go to hell. That's because God has intentionally put a lot of things in the way that serve as roadblocks and makes it hard for you to go there. His love is a roadblock. Hell was never prepared for you in the first place. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, as Jesus states in Matthew 25, verse 41. However, when we sin, it made it impossible for us to live with God because God is holy. In Revelation chapter 21, here's what we read in verse 27. "But thou shalt by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." And yet, because God can't stand the sight of us spending eternity in hell, he has blocked the path with his love. It's in the book of 2 Peter. Here is what we read in chapter 3 and verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." It's a roadblock that's hard to get around, but many walk around God's love, and they continue to rush full speed ahead to their own destruction. In Romans chapter 2, Let us note some things that begin in verse 4. Or did he despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. Let us realize God's love is a roadblock to hell. But also the sacrifice of Jesus is a roadblock. The cross stands in the way. Here is a wooden roadblock to stop you dead in your tracks. God's own Son lies across that road. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a roadblock that has stopped many. Who can forget how that it brought Saul of Tarsus to a screeching halt on the road to Damascus? He was traveling to persecute Christians, and he ends up preaching Christ. He made the statement in Galatians chapter 1, there in verse 23, but they were hearing only, he that formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. You know, I could hardly believe it, but some people walk right past the cross. Imagine the sadness in the eyes of Jesus as he watches people walk over his cross to continue their downward walk. Some, even some erring Christians, have stomped on it. That's what the statement is found in Hebrews chapter 6, when it's in verse 4 that says, for it is impossible for those that were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Later on in Hebrews chapter 10, we read these words in verse 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Oh, that the cross would stop them, but it doesn't mean anything to them anymore. Another roadblock to hell, the Bible. You know, in my case, God put this roadblock ahead of me even when I was a little baby. I don't remember a single day when the Bible was not in my life. I thank God for my parents who taught me the Bible and led me to sing the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. How many of you have had the Bible in your life for a long time? Don't tell me God is not trying to dam up hell to keep you out. Even yet, some get past it. The Bible shows one man cutting and burning his blockade that we read about in Jeremiah 36, verses 20 through 26. He cut up the Word of God. He threw it into the fire. How tragic. And then, too, teachers and preachers are a roadblock. They do all they can to stop people on the downward slope, but they get mixed reactions. Take, for instance, in Acts chapter 17, what we read, beginning with verse 32. It says, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, we will hear you again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. We see, however, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysius the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. When, by the grace of God, I make it to heaven, there will be many teachers and preachers that I want to thank. I want to thank my parents for standing in the way. I want to thank those that taught me in Bible classes. I want to thank those Christians that lived the example of the life that a Christian ought to live in front of my eyes that was such an influence upon me. So it is. Those who were preachers that I listened to as a child, that many of them stayed in my home, that my parents opened the door and welcomed them in, all of this serves to be and to serve as a roadblock to me. So that needs to be understood and recognized for what it is. Truly it is a roadblock to keep us from going to hell. And then your conscience is a roadblock. Isn't that a neat little gift from God? A personal alarm that goes off when you are about to do wrong, but even it can be beat upon until it no longer works very well for us. In 1 Timothy, here's what we read in chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Our conscience needs to be properly educated because that's what our consciences are the result of, what we teach it. Teach it the wrong things, it's going to approve of the wrong things. If we teach it the right things, if we teach it according to God's word, then truly it will prick our conscience to do things contrary to God's will. But that's a part of the education process. But if we keep continually violating our consciences, then we'll end up to where this passage says our consciences have become seared. But two, concerned Christians are a roadblock. The best friend in the universe is the brother or the sister who sees you straying, who sees you drifting, and seeks to turn you back. That's what James said in James chapter 5, there in verses 19 and 20. Brethren, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he that turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. But they too can be got around if you want to get around them. And we had the present opportunity. That too is a roadblock. Now is in front of you. If you're headed in the wrong direction, God has placed the thoughts of our sermon today in front of you. He's preaching to you now. Today is the day of salvation. Be forewarned by others who stared present opportunities in the face and yet ignored it, and as far as we know, they're lost. Like that of Felix in Acts 24, who said, when I have a more convenient season, I will call for you. Or like Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, when he said, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. What would you do with now? So, can you see what I'm saying? God has made it hard to go to hell. But if we still want to go there, in spite of all of the barriers, we can. In fact, somebody well said, hell is the chosen place of the person who loves self more than God, who loves sin more than his Savior, who loves this world more than God's world. Judgment is the moment when God looks at the rebellious and says, your choice will be honored. We see your time is gone. Thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And until then, we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.